He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz.
I can't have nice stuff, guys.
Julian, council
producing.
I cannot
have nice stuff.
We're this hour is starting off. Everybody, we're good. Everybody good. So we're starting off the hour, and fancy headphones are in here. There's some fancy headphones in here.
Yeah, I can't have nice things.
That have to
I don't
be
know
turned
how to work
on.
Nice things.
Yeah, it got a little confusing. But we're mega pumped for this. Shane Foster, Jordan Matthews in studio with us, talking about something that means a lot to us. Mend, as you know, to this show means a lot, and it's something that we've talked a lot about. It's something that's helped people in my life, so we're very passionate about it. July 1st is obviously Saturday, Memorial Gym. Doors open at 8 a.m. for the Vanderbilt Legends charity basketball game, and they're doing something cool. It's Vandy Heroes versus the Real Heroes of Nashville. Tickets are only $10 for adults, $5 for children. You want to go to this. It's helping an amazing cause with the YWCA
and
with Mend.
It's helped. Everyone has somebody in their life like
oh, yeah.
that. I think that's,
for sure.
That's, you know, you said, hey, it's affected a lot of people in your life. It's true, but it's affected everybody. Like
sure.
The whole, there's not a single person that doesn't have a family member that's been affected by this kind of thing.
So. Well, and Mend has specifically stepped in and helped people in my life. So I've seen the effects that Mend right. can have. And that's a very powerful thing, because I think you realize in those moments sometimes you people feel lost. And Mend sort of gives direction. So this is a cool event for a great cause, something we were excited to talk about. So, Shane, we'll start with you. How did all of this come together?
Well, I think it was just the heart of Jordan coming down to Nashville, getting an idea of what we do at the YWCA, what Mend was all about. And, you know, he just gave me a call and said, hey, I want to do something that not only gives back to the community, but also raises awareness for such a big issue that's really plaguing not only just our city, but our state. I mean, when you talk about the statistics that one out of every four women experience domestic violence, and, you know, Tennessee being ninth in the country for men killing women. I mean, this is where we live. This is where we both went to school, have a lot of love for the city of Nashville, for the Vanderbilt community. This can't be life for the state of Tennessee, for the city of Nashville. And so I'm just excited to have him be a part of what we're doing here to engage men, to end violence against women and girls. And we're on our track to making Nashville the safest city in the world.
It's fantastic. And obviously, Jordan Matthews, one of the things that was cool to me about this was it's a combination of two worlds. You know, you've got Shane, obviously, a Vandy basketball legend. You've got Jordan, a Vandy football legend. So for you guys coming together, what was the approach for you in figuring out how to best maximize this?
Yeah, you know, like I said, you know, I know Shane kind of shouted me out just now. But honestly, you know, me and my fiance, we were just kind of looking for ways to get involved back in the city. With my foundation, we've been doing things in the Huntsville area where I'm from. And then also in Philadelphia, we've been doing some things, mentoring kids in the Camden area. But we were saying, you know, what can we do to help out in Nashville? What problems are arising that we can kind of get at the forefront of? And Shane was nice enough to give us a tour of the YWCA shelter, you know, and kind of show us what life for a lot of those women is like. And it was hard for us, you know. And I think one of the things I struggled with the most was I saw so many women coming to the aid of other women, but I didn't see enough men coming together and saying, hey, no, we need to protect our women. And I say, you know, wouldn't it be awesome if we got the men to come out and say, look, no, we want to help out with this cause, you know. And I think it's so powerful, because when men are struggling in the community, it always seems like women and men come to the aid of them. But usually when women are struggling, it always is formed as, oh, it's a feminist movement. Other women are coming to help other women. But that can't be the case anymore. It's got to be the men stepping up, and it's got to be a united cause. So he was able to help us see that. It opened our eyes. And I say, you know, what's something that we can do that's going to be attractive, that's going to be fun, that's going to allow everybody to come out and have a great time, but also that we can do it for an amazing cause? And I said, man, what if we did a Vanderbilt Legends game, but instead of a basketball game with all basketball players, let's get a bunch of football players that think that they're great at one sport, that they'll be good at basketball. It's going to be the most fun thing ever. We'll get a chance to embarrass ourselves, but it's going to be a great thing, and I think a lot of people will enjoy it, and like I said, it's going to go to a great cause.
Well, and Shane, I'm sure you can speak to this. Every football player thinks they can play basketball, right? I guess that's how it goes. Yeah. So I think to point it out, like, there's not a lot of men showing up, and I think it's what's so important is that we have so many issues right now, especially on college campuses,
exactly.
and we're talking about these issues on every campus in America. It's not a campus issue. It's a societal mm-hmm. issue, and it's not a women issue. It's an us. It's us. You know, we're four dudes sitting in a room here. Like, it's on us mm-hmm. to have the conversation to each other. It's not an easy conversation to say things like, one in four women are going to be assaulted. Like, that's insane that we are the ninth worst state or city for killing women. Like, that's insane. Like, that's not the world we can live in, but it's not anything there. Like, it's on us. Like, we have to talk to each other and say, this isn't us problem. How do we fix it? And guys like yourselves are out there on the forefront. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I think Nashville being a growing city, I think it's obviously huge that we get ahead of this and start the conversation and start the healing process now. But then also, too, it's a large concentration of colleges. And so we all know about that kind of culture on college campuses being, you know, it's always kind of moved to the side. And you should see the statistics of girls that report these type of things happening and nobody feels the need to actually take it to the next level and make sure that things are handled the right way. And so it's like, you know, all these colleges right here, we want to start showing like, hey, we see you guys and we want to start making a difference now so Nashville can be a safe city, you know, for our girls moving forward.
What is it? You guys both, you know, you said you're from Huntsville, obviously, Jordan, and you do stuff in Philly as well. What is it about Nashville in particular? It seems like Vandy guys end up coming back to the city and calling Nashville home more so maybe than a lot of other college campuses. Is Nashville just kind of special? Is the experience that brought you back? I mean, what is it about the city that's so special to you guys?
You know, something that's crazy. Nashville is either the highest or one of the highest concentration of former NFL athletes. So how many NFL athletes do we have that came from Vanderbilt? Not a whole lot. So it's a whole bunch of guys coming here and just add to the traffic because they know the city's that great. You know, these guys, I'm like, you didn't play here, Vanderbilt. Stop coming. Stop moving it. But they love the city.
Come on, Eddie. Come on, dude.
You know, but it's a great city. It has the perfect mix. You know, when you talk about a city life where people can go downtown and have a great time and then bring their friends in and say, hey, look, here's some tourist spots that we can hit up. You have that element. But then also you have the down home feel. I think there was something that says the nicest city in America. You know, and it was funny. As I read something else that said the meanest city in America was Philly. So I'm like, I get the best of both. You know, how blessed am I? So, but I think it's just so many different elements that make Nashville awesome. And then if you're a Vanderbilt grad, you've had 4 years to come here and put your foot in the door and start to, you know, network and start to get to know people. So now it's not a culture shock. You come down here, you already have your foot in the door. You already know some people. And then I think it's just that much more attractive to say, hey, we want to make this home base. You know, that's what me and my fiance are going to do. This is definitely going to be a place where we live and raise our family.
I want to ask you a question, Jordan, because you mentioned Camden, and when I used to tour as a musician, there's a huge venue. There's a huge like arena in Camden, and it's not a nice area. Like it's a rough. It always stands out in my mind because when we wanted to go out and run, they wouldn't let us. They wouldn't let us leave the venue. That's how rough Camden is. So, in relation to men in this conversation, how much of this conversation needs to start with kids? When you think about, because you mentioned working with kids there, how much of this needs to start with conversations we should be having with our kids at a young age about how to treat women properly?
Yeah, you know, there's a quote that says, it's easier to raise good men than to fix broken ones, you know? And so you always want to start young. And I think we can't take for granted that everybody's going to learn in the home because everybody comes from different situations. And then what happens is somebody gets older and they have habits, they've seen certain things, and then we judge them automatically, but we don't even know where that person came from. What type of trends and what type of things did they see early on that we could have hit at the forefront? So, I mean, like with Camden, that's what me and my fiance work with. We work with the young kids. We work with kids from sixth grade all the way up to seniors. And then we actually have a mentoring program that specifically hits juniors and seniors. So right before they hit the real world, we want to make sure that they have the right values and the right core values that are going to help them, you know, advance in life, but also advance the lives of other people around them. You know, like I said, Camden, dude, they don't even have sporting events at night. Like all the high school games, they're like, Jordan, come to our game. They're like, it's at 11. I'm like, I'm at work. I can't, right. You know? So, but it's just crazy the type of things they see. You know, there was one kid in our mentoring program who every day he walked to school, he would pass by the house that his mom lived at, and his mom gave him up at birth. You know? So his mom gave him up at birth, but now he walks to school every day, and he sees his mom. Like, why don't you want me? So these are the type of things these kids see, and we just immediately write them off. You know? And I want these kids to know the biggest thing is that we see them. You know, if we think that because we do one basketball game, we're going to fix all the problems of the women at the shelter, that's impossible. It can't happen. But the thing is, though, is a lot of women at the shelter can't come to the game. They have predators. They have people coming after them. So they aren't able to come and spend that time with us. But how great would it be that we could show them how many people came out to support them and just show them we see you? And I think that's the biggest thing people want to know is like that we see them. We're not walking by the homeless guy on the street and just like, oh, whatever. No, we see you. You're a person just like me and you. And I think it just brings a little bit of a humanizing effect to each other. And then we can start to grow in love instead of just, you know, being so laissez-faire about everything.
And I think you make a really sort of articulate point. And you know, you tell a story about this kid. And I think almost all of these issues, because we live in a country right now that's so charged and so, you know, sort of divided in some senses, that having the ability to see another person's perspective different from what you experienced, I think is so unbelievably important. And I think that's why men need to talk about the issue, because we don't see it through the eyes of the women. And that's the problem. Like that's where it starts. And so I think, and this goes for all these issues that we're talking about, whether it's race, whether it's gender, whether it's sexuality, religion, all these things that are charging this country up right now. You got to look at through somebody else's eyes first before you make some rash judgment about it.
So we got to take a quick break. Shane, when we come back, I want you to spill the dirt on who really can't play. Because we know you know. You're going to have to tell us. We're going to continue.
And some Cruton stories. I need some Cruton stories.
Yeah, we'll get some stories and tell you more about the event. Don't forget, we're going to come back with the guys. But don't forget, it's Saturday. It's July 1st. Doors open at 10 a.m. Tickets are only $10 for adults, $5 for kids. It's a fantastic event. I'm going to be there. You should be there. So be sure to check it out. We'll tell you more about it. We'll continue the conversation with Shane and with Jordan. We'll do that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Miami. He's Braden Gall. I'm Jason Fitz. Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. As always, fantastic conversation going on during the break.
Yeah, we should record those.
Yeah, we really should. Shane Foster, Jordan Matthews joining us. I want to tell you again, it's the Vanderbilt Legends charity basketball game. It's July 1st. Doors open at 10 a.m. Tickets are only $10 for adults, $5 for kids. And they're doing Vandy Heroes versus the Real Heroes of Nashville. All proceeds go to the YWCA and amend. So this is something we believe in a lot. We'll get back into the heavy stuff, but Shane, I have to ask you first and foremost, you're going to dominate this game, right? You're going to crush everybody.
That's definitely the hope. You know, I've been putting in a lot of work these last couple of weeks.
Been
you know,
in the
talking to Jordan, you know, we've been talking a little bit about who's going to be playing. You know, you got some big guys. Chris Williams going to be in there. Jay Cutler, you never know what he's going to do. And then obviously Jay Matt, you know, being as athletic as he is, he might come in there and try to dunk on me. So, you know, Memorial Gym is still my house. So I got to make sure that, you know,
like
things
that.
Go the right way.
Chris Williams is a big body.
I pulled some film on Shane. It was in black and white. So, you know, it was kind of funny.
You realize you're talking to two guys that are significantly older than Shane Foster.
That is fair. That is fair. So the real question is, you know, are you going to lower one rim just to give some of the shorter guys maybe a chance at a dunk? Like that? I think you should. Just one
Come
side.
On.
Just one side, you know?
S-O-F-T,
I'm always rooting for the little guy. Yeah, well,
soft.
I am. Look at me. I am soft. I mean, I got no shot. If somebody dunks, is trash talking allowed in this? You know, are you guys going to go after each other a little bit?
A little bit. You know, it's still competitive. You got athletes. I mean, but we're also going to have firefighters, teachers, you know, we're going to have police that are going to be playing this game alongside us. So, it's going to be competitive. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know, guys going to trash talk a little bit, but we still got to keep understanding of what the cause is that we're here for. And at the end of the day, we're trying to change this culture that supports violence against women and girls. So we're going to make sure that that's the message that we're putting out there, that we're modeling that for the audience as well.
Yeah, PG trash talk.
PG trash talk.
The competitive juices, I mean, that's what makes you guys high-level athletes. I want to know the stories on getting to Nashville. I'm fascinated by recruiting. It's about people. It's about relationships. It's about experiences. It's such an inexact science. How did you guys end up in Nashville at Vanderbilt? Sort of why that decision for you guys? Both from Mississippi and Alabama, right?
Yeah. So, ironically for me, I didn't even know Vanderbilt existed. I literally had no clue, and they were one of the first schools that started recruiting me in my freshman year. But I was like, I've never heard of the school. I'm not going there. Sorry. And my dad, who played at the University of Southern Mississippi, said, no, you need to go check that out. And so I was like, okay, but I'm not using an official visit. I'm going to use an unofficial because, you know, at the end of the day.
Got to save money, man.
Hey, for real. And so, but I came, and I was blown away by – first of all, the prestige of the university, the class of the people that I got a chance to meet. As Jordan mentioned earlier, this is a home base. You know, this is a place that you can call home. And I immediately felt home when I met the coaching staff, when I met some of the fans, when I met, you know, the people that I would be working with in athletics every single day. It just really, really felt like home. And I'm a kid from New Orleans, you know. And so that was very important to me. It was so important that when I came back on an official visit, I literally brought my whole family. I brought everybody. It was like, yo, you got to go see. This is absolutely amazing. It's incredible. And I had gone to, you know, Kansas, Georgetown, Notre Dame, LSU, all these schools. This was the place that felt home to me, and it proved out to be one of the best decisions I ever made in my life.
Yeah, man, you know, I think me and Shane's story a little bit opposite. Shane was big time, man.
Kansas, man, and Georgetown. Golly, yeah,
Kansas, Georgetown. Man, I didn't even have DeVry University as an offer, man. They got a commercial Lil Romeo does on BET where he advertises some college. They didn't even offer me. I didn't get anywhere, man. Alabama A&M, Jacksonville State. Bro, I had zero offers on the table. I came to one camp at Vanderbilt, and I did pretty well. And then after that, Coach Fisher and Coach Caldwell started calling me, sending me letters. But I had, like I said, I ended my whole high school career. I had no offers. No, it didn't look like anything was coming to the table. I told my mom, hey, I'm going to make it to college to play football. She was like, okay, yeah, do these applications. You're going for school. You know, it's not coming. And then all of a sudden, shout out to Bradley Roby, cornerback for the Broncos. He was committed to Vanderbilt, but then he got an offer from Ohio State, and he really wanted to go to Ohio State. So he ended up decommitting from Vanderbilt and going to Ohio State. That year, they said they were only going to take four receivers in the class. We had Chris Boyd, Trent Pruitt, and Jonathan Krause already signed. And so once Bradley Roby left, that was going to be the one vacant spot for an extra receiver. So they called me on Christmas Eve, Coach Caldwell.
Not a bad gift.
Not a bad gift.
And that is one of the funniest dudes I have ever met in my life. Jordan, Robbie Caldwell is
– gonna come up here to Maryland. That's what he said. And so I got my offer, and it's been great ever since, man. It's been
that's
great.
That's such a – like in the reality of dreams come true, because you're living such a dream, and yeah. So many of us in life have gotten to live dreams. One little tiny moment, you know, that's not even necessarily in your control can change your destiny so much. I mean, that's really powerful to think that you went from, you know, your mom thinking, hey, you're not going to play at all, and now you play every Sunday. I mean, that's a really incredible journey.
Yeah, it definitely is, man. It was an awesome, like you said, awesome Christmas present. The craziest thing is, you know, I was so competitive at that time in my life, so I used to always pull up the YouTube videos of the guys who were already signed. Like, man, what's this guy doing that I'm not doing? And then it was a couple weeks maybe before Bradley Roby decommitted, and I was watching his film, and I scrolled down, and one of his friends, like, had commented, hey, I talked to Bradley the other day. He's about to leave Vanderbilt. He's about to go to Ohio State. And all these people were saying, like, yeah, you should go to Ohio State. I went and commented, yeah, go to Ohio State. You know, like, I'm under those comments, you know.
There's only 25 scholarships available.
And then just me, I told my dad, like, Dad, man, this spot might open up. And then we just started praying that night, and then that door would open up, and it did. So, like I said, I haven't regretted this decision. It was the best decision ever to come. I loved playing all 4 years here. Like I said, Nashville is going to be home, so I could love this school and this city more.
Well, and the whole process, just hearing you guys talk, like YouTubing and knowing that decommitments, like, this is all new stuff in recruiting. Like, it's the last 10 or 12, 15 years that this kind of stuff has happened, and I can't imagine the free-for-all recruiting would have been in the 70s and 80s and 90s. It's amazing. Give us a James Franklin story.
Oh my gosh. Oh, James Franklin story. I got too many.
We've got time.
No, I'd have to literally go through the archives. You should have called me on the way in and it's like, Jordan, go through your dictionary of James Franklin quotes and everything.
What? Give us something that nobody knows about James Franklin.
Let me see. What's one thing that nobody? Man, I would say that he's really emotional, but he cried so many times in interviews, man. So I think everybody knows that. Everybody knows that he loves his players. You know, I think as far as his competitiveness, he would always say this. He'd say his biggest strength was his biggest weakness. He's so competitive, and I think that was something that it showed through the way that he coached, and it's shown since he's gone to Penn State. I know that when he left, there were people that were upset, but, you know, I had no ill feelings toward Coach Franklin. Everybody has their own journey. Everybody has their own road that they have to go down. He was great with me, and I know a lot of the players really appreciate him, too. He loves his players, you know, so I'm excited for what he's doing at Penn State. But as far as funny stories, I think there might be kids listening, so I can't tell too many of the too many things they used to say to us at practice. But, you know, it was a joy playing for him.
Shane, I want to get back to the event a little bit and ask you, you know, when you talked about the names and the people involved, you've been such a flagship to try and help raise awareness around MEND. How much does it help that process when you know that guys like Jordan and guys like Jay Cutler and guys that you mentioned earlier are coming in and want to be a part of events like this? How much does that help you raise the communication and platform of the events?
Oh, it's priceless. It's absolutely priceless. When you see men like Jordan who really, really get it and who really have a heart for changing a community, for changing the lives of kids and fans and neighbors and people who, you know, we see every single day. And as Jordan mentioned earlier, just letting them know, hey, we see you. We see the struggle. We see what you're going through. We see, you know, the culture that we live in that is demeaning and degrading and objectifying women every single day at every turn. It's all over social media. It's all over TV. It's all over the news, all of these things. And so for them to really use their platform that they've been given to raise awareness and really get out in front of this and do something, I mean, it's really priceless. And like I said before, we have a goal of making Nashville the safest city in the world for women and girls. And if we're going to do that, we have to have people like Jordan, people like Jay Cutler, people like Brent Snedeker, you know, so many people in this community that people look up to, you know, not only just the kids, but even the adults, people look up to you. So with that platform comes the responsibility of caring about some of these things. So it's amazing. And I can't say enough what it does for not only our program, but really for the city of Nashville to have these guys involved.
Anytime we can do anything at all to help, you let us know. Now, David Price is pitching today. I don't know why DP couldn't play on Saturday.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Right in the middle of the season, no big deal for Price. Can he play ball?
Well, he has a Jordan contract, so I think there's a chance that he can. But right. We've actually talked about this. You know, this game has so many layers, and we want to give it legs to have longevity. We want to do it in this city, at this university. So there's ways we can get creative with it. So, I mean, we've talked about possibly doing a softball game later. You know, how long do we want to do the basketball thing? You know, and then we're old and gray, we'll probably do a golf thing. You know, it's just continue to help. We want to continue to grow it, and we want to have longevity. So we have the softball game. We'll bring David.
You guys were studs. There's no question. But you start messing with Andy Baseball.
Oh, yeah.
You guys are in trouble.
Those
dudes crush, man.
We might have to mix those teams. I have, like, Tony Kemp or something. We might have to do something else. I'll get Dansby.
Yeah.
So, again, the event, guys, July 1st, it's Saturday. Doors open at 10 a.m. All the proceeds go to YWCA and MEND. Incredible causes. It's Vandy Heroes versus the Real Heroes of Nashville. It's a chance to support MEND. It's a chance to support the Real Heroes of Nashville. All of these are incredible things. Tickets are only $10 for adults, $5 for kids. Get out there, support it. It's such a great cause. You need to. Guys, our invites to play must have been lost in the mail. I don't know. You know, so next year, just let me know.
I swam Simpson back here. I'm like, why am I not in this?
Yeah. Julian's got some game. There's no question about that. I just sort of flail. I'm like a winger who just like flails to the rack and then passes the ball. Fitzy's a great point guard. He's
I could have just talked trash and handled the national anthem, but no invite for me.
Look, guys, yeah, definitely. Like I said, it's gonna have some longevity. We're going to be able to get you guys in there at some point. You guys are heroes in our eyes.
On
the way to work in the mornings to deal with this Nashville traffic. You guys helped me get through that, so y'all are definitely doing your thing. So thank you.
Hey, thank you guys for coming in studio. Thanks for the time and thanks for doing this event. It's really amazing to see guys of your stature giving back to a community we all love. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this, and then we're going to get into a little bit of football news that you need to know. We'll do all that next up. Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game. He's Braden Gull. I'm Jason Fitz. I got to stress it. If you missed any of that, get back out on the app, download the app, and get that back because Shane Foster, Jordan Matthews, we can't stress enough, just on and off the air, just good, just genuinely good people. And what Shane Foster has done to try and help this community, it was already inspiring to me and was already sort of that breathtaking moment where you look at it and say, man, that's somebody using all of his platform for good, and that just makes my heart happy. And then to see Jordan and the effect that he's trying to have in all of the communities that have affected him, and then the tie-in that they want long-term to help Vandy help this event, it was incredible. It was an incredible moment.
And there's specific people in specific universities' history that sort of hit all at the same time, if that makes sense, you know? And, like, with Vandy baseball being as good as it is, Vandy basketball under Shane Foster in those years being as good as they were, and then the James Franklin era with Jordan Matthews as sort of one of the stars of that, with Cutler just before all of that. Like, there's been this run of sort of star power that's come through Vanderbilt on almost all these different sports. And if you can get all of them pulling in the same direction, it's an extremely powerful message. I don't – like, it shouldn't take Shane Foster and Jordan Matthews to get the point across to people that we shouldn't be hitting women or that we shouldn't be beating women. Like, that's not something that should have to happen. We as men should be better than that. And but to see it happen is very inspiring, because when Shane talks about this stuff and when Jordan talks about this stuff, it's as genuine as it gets. It's not every celebrity sports guy goes out there and does everything the way these two guys are doing it. I cannot commend them enough on the work that they're doing. And it's not just them. It's Predators, Sean Henry, the organization supporting men the way they do. I don't know. It's something that affects everybody, and the more we talk about it, the better it's going to get. It doesn't mean it's easy to hear, but the more we talk about it, the better it's going to get.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the hope we can all have.
Well, and again, when you talk about sort of special moments, the fact that they're getting so many people that have such great history of Vandy to come together and promote something that's just downright good, and you're using so many celebrity pieces of that. It's just inspiring to see that Vandy and the stars of Vandy and the people that have moved on from Vandy are still connected back to the city in such a real way that they want to help make the place better. And I think that's really cool.
And also the ties to Nashville are special as well. But I also think sort of spreading it out, I know you're going to get, like, when we get into social issues like that, which we don't get into very often, there's a lot of stick to sports. But I'm a big believer, part of why I fell in love with athletics in general at the beginning, at a very young age, reading about Jackie Robinson in particular, my idol as a sports fan. Like, that's who I love. I did 1,000 book reports on Jackie Robinson. Seeing how powerful sports can be in affecting change in other areas. So, like, we don't talk politics on this show by choice because we don't want to. It's a sports show. But sometimes sports intersects. And there are opportunities to step back and look at things through other people's eyes and say, well, how does that affect this person? Or how does that affect this person? And sports has a really interesting way and powerful way of pulling people through, like, the eye of the needle a little bit. It can pull society through the eye of the needle a little bit. You know, Bear Bryant integrating the SEC in the 70s, Bear Bryant was, like, the only guy that could do that. You know what I mean? Like, he's the guy that could affect change, and because it was the coach at Alabama who'd won championships, he was able to change the way an entire conference functioned from a moral standpoint. So that sports it's got such a big role in some of these big issues, and domestic violence, sexual child abuse, all these things, they're impossible things to talk about, but sports can have a way of bringing people together and have creating a powerful voice.
Yeah, I mean, at the very least, when you talk about the event going on tomorrow, it's, hey, do you want to spend $10 and go see a bunch of Vandy legends play basketball against a bunch of actual heroes and firefighters and police and teachers, like he said? I mean, if you want to see that, if you want to support that sort of an awesome moment, it's $10, $5 for kids. Like, right.
How much of your day this week will that take?
And in and of itself,
hours?
That by itself is already a, holy cow, that's awesome. It's only $10, $5 for kids. I should go to that. When you add to on top of that, oh, my God, it's benefiting a fantastic cause. I think these are the moments where we see so much, and we laugh in our coverage so often about how anything negative an athlete does, we're going to talk about. And then anything stupid that an athlete does, how much time is spent not necessarily on this show, but on all airwaves,
right,
everywhere, talking about
stupid tweets
or the Vanderbilt situation yesterday, right, with, you know, some kids making a bad decision with the Pelican. You know, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but everybody seemed to talk about it a ton. These are the things we can also talk about that actually show some of the good of what these guys are doing. They're giving their time, their names, their brands, their energy, their focus to something that helps the entire community, and it's $10 to go support it. I mean, that's just that's a win for everybody all the way around. So I'm excited to go. Sonny and I are going to go and hang out and be there and support it, and I hope you guys are there too. And if you are, say hi.
Tell everybody what time, where, when, how, and all that.
Yeah, so
good
it's
stuff
down at Memorial Gym, and it's Saturday, and doors open at 10 a.m. And so those are the key pieces you need to know. Vanderbilt charity basketball game. It's Vandy Heroes versus the Real Heroes in Nashville. And again, July 1st, Saturday, doors open at 10 a.m. All proceeds go to the YWCA and men, and tickets are $10 for adults, $5 for kids.
When's tip time?
I don't know what time tip time is. I just know the doors open at 10. I think tip time might be 11. I'll have to look that up. But doors open at 10. And just get down there, hang out. There's going to be a lot of cool people down there. I have heard through the grapevine that D-Mace is going to be down there, too. So maybe I'll challenge
Which
him.
Which one?
Well, I don't know. Probably
both.
Question. Probably both. So
I wonder if our Derek Mason can still ball.
Well, no, not like I can. Kidding.
I like how you just out invited yourself, by the way.
Oh, yeah. No, of course.
Like,
of
you need a fiddle player for the anthem? Could have done it. Didn't
Could've
ask me, losers.
Yeah, no, I flat out invited myself. Really?
You're too busy trying to protect women of the city.
Well,
to worry about me.
I think that the invite obviously came and it was just lost in the mail. I mean, if you saw my Nashville Soccer Club tryout, you understand that I bring something fresh and necessary to sporting events. So if you thought calf sweaters were good.
I was going
to
say, 1987 style, very fresh.
Well, you know what? I'm going to bring I would bring arm sleeves instead, you know.
Like Allen Iverson.
Yeah, but not like those, like maybe fluffy ones or, something.
Like pink fluffy
arm sleeves. Yeah, pink fluffy arm sleeves for basketball. That seems like it makes a lot of sense.
Right, elbow warmers.
Yeah, elbow. Oh, that's a good idea too. See, these are the things.
Shane needs to keep the elbow warm. I bet you that dude could still hoop. He could probably fill it up.
You know, the funny thing is I still feel like Shane is so just tall and imposing in that sense with height. I feel like even if I jumped my highest, he wouldn't jump. He'd just reach up and he'd be like, poop, and just hand the ball back to me.
And Jordan, you see Jordan, and obviously still playing, sort of in the prime of his career, and he is not a small guy. And there are times where he stands next to players. Like, he stands next to Carson Wentz, and he looks like a small guy. The quarterback for the Eagles,
yeah,
he looks like a small guy. And J-Matt is not small.
No.
I mean, he's not even considered a big wide receiver, and he is a large dude. So,
well, again, huge thanks to them. And guys, let's get out and support it and help make the community a better place and have a bunch of fun. Like, I'm just going to have a blast at that. So make sure you're there with us hanging out on Saturday. I'll keep tweeting out the info so that you guys can come hang out. Josh Ward, WNML. Josh Ward going to join us next up. We'll get his thoughts on all things Vols and all things SEC. We'll do that next up. Josh Ward joining Braden and Fitz, ESPN, 102.5 The Game. You're listening to Braden and Fitz live from the Game Nashville Studios, presented by Wholesale Inc. of Mount Juliet on what is obviously Will Smith Day.
Why?
Oh, it's good. You don't like Will Smith?
He's got a couple good movies, yeah.
Oh, how can you not?
Couple.
I mean, I've liked every one of
What was that one where he was what was the one where he was like the dating advisor?
Hitch?
That was a good movie?
Hitch, yeah. I actually watched that 2 weeks ago.
Didn't he have at one point the longest string in Hollywood of consecutive number one movies?
iRobot?
I've actually liked a lot of the Will Smith movies.
I like the Men in Black movies.
But I actually really like Will Smith's music as well. I like cheesy vanilla, bland.
Just like your vodka.
Exactly. Cheesy vanilla like vodka. Just like vodka. You know who's not cheesy and who's not vanilla? Josh Ward, WNML. Josh, Will Smith, yay or nay?
Yeah, I mean, Bad Boys, Bad Boys 2.
Yeah,
Pursuit of Happiness. I mean, just keep rolling them off.
Yeah.
Wow.
Look at that.
That was like a 20-year span you just covered in 4 movies, Josh. Yeah.
Well, I think what we just learned is that Josh is a mega. Do you have a Will Smith poster on the wall, Josh?
Well, actually, yeah, that's kind of funny you bring that up because while I haven't, I haven't ordered them yet, they're all in the cart online, and I actually got into a pretty heated argument with somebody recently, and I realized I'm probably like a Will Smith truther at this point because recently the movies have not been quite the hits that were expected, but I'll still defend him, as you can obviously tell right now.
I love the Bad Boys. I'm going to go Enemy of the State on you. How about that one?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
see, nobody knows.
And then, of course, the TV show Fresh Prince of Bel-Air is movie, but it's one of the greatest hits of all time and one of the greatest show theme songs of all time, too.
Thanks for joining us, Josh.
Agree. See, Josh, what other show brings you on to talk about riveting things like Will Smith and donuts? I mean, that's what we've really got this thing.
So really what we need to do is break down Will Smith the musician, Will Smith the TV star, and Will Smith the actor. That's really what we need. Give me a power rankings.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question. Yeah.
So
I could fill out the rest of the segment. You guys can actually take a break if you want to. But, I mean, the music is what gets it started. So, like Mount Rushmore conversations, I think we do those all the time in sports talk radio. I always go historical, so I'll do that. I think the music is what starts it off for Will.
That's I did
you
not
genuinely are a huge Will Smith
you
fan.
Did not, I did not expect that breakdown of Will Smith, and I you know what, Josh, I think I love you a little bit more for it. Like you and I just became best friends, and I don't know how it happened. So let's get into some SEC football talk as people are sitting there saying, "What the heck are they
West
talking?"
West Philadelphia,
to Josh?
Born and raised.
Let me ask you, because this has been the conversation we've been having the last few days with some of the national guys that have come on. Do you feel like SEC fans as a whole have lost perspective of what their teams are actually capable of achieving?
Yes, some have. I think Nick Saban has greatly affected the ability for SEC fans to have perspective on what the current reality is within the conference. And it does depend on which fan base you go and talk to. But I mean, the way that pressure and expectations are just surrounding coaches when they arrive in the league. Now they're paid a ton of money, but look at like Georgia with Kirby Smart. He's entering year two. I mean, what kind of pressure do you think he's going to start facing if he doesn't win the East this year? If Jim McElwain slides back and doesn't win the East this year after going 2-for-2, but they're not really being all that close to winning an SEC championship, how do you think Florida fans are going to react? And then in Knoxville, if Butch Jones doesn't win the East this year, now he's not expected to this season, but that would be 0-for-5. And we've talked about where Tennessee fans are right now. This year, you know, let's see how it plays out with Tennessee, because there are so many different scenarios I can imagine which would greatly affect what fans think. But then in the West, Les Miles is gone, and it's because he couldn't really get over the top against Alabama for the most part. I would say that was the reason there. And then Auburn, you've got Jared Stidham now, and Auburn's in that state with Alabama. So I think Nick Saban is the biggest reason that that so many fans are, not all, but so many are kind of struggling to get a grip on what the current situation is. And as long as Nick Saban is there, at least the way I look at recruiting right now with that program, look at this last year's class, I don't see that changing anytime soon.
Josh, take Nick Saban out of the equation. How many national championship programs exist in the SEC? How many teams can routinely compete for SEC titles once every 4 or 5 years and feel like that's a comfortable expectation?
I would say 3 or 4. Some I think you would have to extend that out to more like a 10-year window, and I still think that's pretty good if you're able to every 10 years jump into that conversation at least. But Florida can. I think Georgia can. I think Georgia has a national title, if not for Nick Saban. And I'm talking about during the Mark Richt time. LSU obviously can. Tennessee and Auburn both can be in the mix for national championships. I mean, the right coach, like if Saban went to Texas A&M, A&M could be there, but I don't think that's a reasonable expectation for the program. So I would say, taking Alabama aside, because Alabama's obviously there, I would still say you have 4 or 5 other programs that every 4 to 5 years or 8 to 10 years that the fans should at least expect to be in the national championship conversation in November.
Let me ask you this, Josh, because one of the conversations we've been talking about as we get everybody set for the season has been, you know, let's face it, the dissatisfaction with Butch Jones amongst many people in the fan base. And what we've been trying to identify is, where are the next great coaching candidates? If you're a Vols fan and you just won't be sold on Butch Jones, is there a coach out there you think that fan base should really have their eye on that is a guy they should look to for the future?
I don't think there's a long list. The obvious name that I think everybody will mention will be Chip Kelly, but his name will be linked to every single job that could possibly become open among the power jobs. So are you realistically going to get in there? Tennessee fans will, I'm sure, mention John Gruden. Good luck, as I've said, over the last 3-4 hires that you've had to make at Tennessee. So no, I don't think there's that obvious name. Now somebody could emerge, you know, like PJ Fleck became a big name and he ended up being at Minnesota, but if he has success there, then he'll definitely get a lot of attention. We obviously saw Tom Herman over the last 2 seasons become the must-get name, but also look at LSU. LSU makes a move in the middle of the season with Les Miles, and it ends up with Ed Orgeron as the head coach. Maybe he works out, and it could, but you had to elevate from within, and I think if they had to choose, they would have gone out and gotten a big-name coach, but they just couldn't do that. Texas got Herman. They were left with promoting from within. And that's LSU. That's one of the top jobs in the country. So I think it's much harder than a lot of fans realize to go out, even if you are a big-name program, to get a big-name coach. Ohio State got Urban Meyer. They got a little lucky that he was a free agent coach, and they were just able to go get him. Very rarely do you see a big name coach at a power program hop to another one? And we also at least had the reports that LSU wanted to try to pull Jimbo Fisher away from Florida State. Didn't work out, did it? So it's a lot harder. Sometimes you get lucky. Sometimes, I mean, Florida did with Urban Meyer that he was the next big coach, and it really worked out that way. But a lot of times the next big coach that you think is going to take you to the highest level isn't ready for that level yet.
Fantastic stuff, guys. Follow him on Twitter at Josh_Ward, WNML, Josh Ward. Josh.
Josh, you're very wrong, by the way. TV Will Smith is the where it started. Let's be very honest.
No, it started with rapping Will Smith. Without
Fresh
rapping
Prince
Will
of
Smith.
Bel-Air.
Yeah, but there was no Fresh Prince were it not for already an All existing right. rap career. Will.
Yeah, rapping Will Smith is the grassroots, I would say, Will Smith.
Okay.
And
like
Man
the hipster.
We didn't even mention that one.
Like the hipster version of Will Smith.
That's right.
Josh, okay. When you come to Nashville, finally, you and I can spend a night just listening to old Will Smith jams, watching some Will Smith. And
getting jiggy
some,
with it is not an old Will Smith jam.
And drinking some cherry vodka and Diet Coke. It's going to be a perfect night, Josh.
Knocking down donuts and listening to Will Smith soundtracks. I like it.
That's perfect. Josh Ward, thanks for the time, man. We appreciate it.
On the playground where he spent most of his days. How many albums did Will Smith have before he started Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the TV show?
A couple, two or three. He only got he literally didn't even audition. He only got the TV show because he was an actor. Never taken an acting, or because he was a rapper.
Musician, yeah.
He'd never taken an acting class, never done any of that. So.
I mean, I watched, you know, Saved by the Bell and Fresh Prince of Bel-Air like every day as a kid growing up. Like that hit me right when I was like 9 years old or whatever. So Fresh Prince was a big deal.
Yeah,
I probably could sing both songs all the way through, and that's not anything but anybody in Nashville needs to hear.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think we just found your karaoke jam for karaoke night.
Are you allowed to do TV theme songs?
Oh, yeah,
as karaoke
yeah,
songs?
Yeah, for sure.
Like,
for
they
sure.
will have that, you
yes,
think?
Yes, they have that. Of course they have that. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I'm all in on Fresh Prince of Bel-Air theme song then.
Well,
I'm in.
We have figured out Braden's go-to karaoke jam, which sort of makes my heart happy, I'm not going to lie. When we come back, we're doing this a little early. We're going to go unfiltered when we come back. Why are we doing it early? Because Brant Snedeker is coming in to talk with us at 9 o'clock, so he's more important than unfiltered. So we're going to go unfiltered at 8 o'clock. We'll do that next up, Braden and Fitz, ESPN 102.5 The Game.